worked with Manna Ministry, I told them yesterday that we were going to double their wages. They have worked so hard in recent days, and yesterday they were on their feet for a long time. And I hope when they went home, somebody rubbed their feet. But if you're with Manna Ministries, would you stand up for just a minute? If you work with Manna Ministries. All right. We just want to acknowledge you and say thank you so much for all you do. Amen. Amen. God bless you. How many of you have ever got a call and asked to make a salad or make something for funeral services? Would you stand up? You're the ones we don't see at all, and we want to thank you. You don't know, you never get to see the faces and the thank you and what it does for families that as they gather there. And we want to say thank you from the bottom of our heart. Thank you for being willing to do that. Amen. Yeah. See, I honestly believe the spirit in which we do things brings life. I don't care if you're making a salad or what you're doing. If your spirit is in that and you're doing that as an act unto the Lord, I'll tell you what, he's going to bless it and he's going to use it. You know, I'm thrilled about this dirt is going to be moved up here and be the foundation for the new school. And I believe with all my heart that's going to bring something of a spiritual touch there. And we're seeing that really develop and come along in such a beautiful way. And it's just a tremendous blessing that we have a part in this community and what God's doing. And I want to share a message with you this morning as we come to communion about caring enough to connect, of really getting connected in the body of Christ so we can accomplish what he desires. And I pray the Holy Spirit will make this alive in your heart, because you don't need another sermon. You need to understand the grace of God that's in your heart and what to do with it, because the Christian life only becomes exciting when you begin to live it. It's not when you hear about it. The original thing of hearing about Christ and receiving his love is the most magnificent thing that can ever happen. But then it's what we do with it that really brings that kind of life. And where Jesus said, you'll not only have life, you'll have a more abundant life. Now, a more abundant life is the fact that you'll have something to give away. Now, it may just be a salad. It may be something of the substance. It may be a smile. It may be a word of encouragement. You always have something to give. Matter of fact, you're always giving something regardless. Amen? Have you ever been around somebody that gave you something you wish they didn't give you? They gave you a piece of their mind, and you thought, I could have done without that. But have you ever been around somebody that gave you an encouraging word when you were down, discouraged, and all of a sudden they began to tell you something that just lifted your heart? And see, even the fact that we gather together unto him and we come and worship, doesn't that lift your heart and put hope in your heart for what God can do no matter what we're going through? So it's not just about our condition, it's about our position as a child of God. That's so important. Well, as we walk through the Word today, would you look in the book of Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to share there with you and pray the Holy Spirit will make this alive in your heart, that we are family and we're the body of Christ. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to begin with verse 12, and 12 and 13, and going down to 18 over to verse 27, and into the book of 1 John. So I want to encourage you today to take time to just sit down and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to tell you, it's the best analysis you'll get anywhere of how we're to function as a person, and especially how we're to function as a church, being the body of Christ. And realize this is the Word of God. As we're going through this 40 days of the Word, we have to come back to the reality. This is God speaking. It's not just reading the Word. It's not just doing my devotion. It's coming to the God that spoke the words and hear what he has to say this day and what we can do with what he says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and we've all been made to drink in to one Spirit." And then it says in verse 18, "But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleases him." I hope you'll underline that, because that's a personal word to the Lord of how he'll place you in the body of Christ as it pleases him. Now please understand, get it really straight. Underline, circle, highlight the word who it pleases. Because have you found out that no matter where you're at times it doesn't please you? But it's not about you. It's all about him. And when you find that out, it makes all the difference. Verse 27 says, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Then in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And that's 1 John 4:17. Father, make this alive in our spirit today so that we come to communion with an understanding of not only who you are, but who you've made us to be. And Lord, would you put the kind of care and compassion in our heart that we would connect as the body of Christ so you can direct and perfect what you would purpose to reach this world with your love. I pray, ask, I believe for you to do that in our hearts. Lord God, I pray that you might touch us in such a way that we could lay aside every bit of weariness, that we could cast our care upon you because you care for us. And Lord God, that we could be an empty vessel, that you could fill this day with the power of your love. Lord, we have to face all the things and all the problems and pressures of life. But that's where your promises make all the difference. That's where your presence comes. And I pray this day you'll make that real to every heart, every home, in the name of Christ our Lord. And everyone said, amen. You know, last week I talked about chicken strips, and that's where the flesh kind of rises up. And the Bible tells us the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. Now, how many of you had to push your flesh just a little bit to get here today? How many of you have done something in this last week? You did it, but you didn't want to. Your flesh said, no, I don't want to do it. And I tell you, this old flesh is so weak. But the spirit is the real you. This flesh is a temporary dwelling. It's important because it houses the spirit. But we need to know that this flesh will give us some problems. That's why we have to present it as the living sacrifice. We have to have our minds renewed. And in this 40 days that we go through, it's not about a program. It's about a relationship, coming closer to the Lord, and allowing the Word to work in us in such a way that we're spiritually minded so we can worship God, as Jesus said, in spirit and in truth, that we know both of those things coming together. I'll tell you, that's when church becomes exciting. Because all of a sudden, we're not just sitting in a pew. We understand what we're to do in the power of God's love. This is an understanding, too, about relationships and what real structure in life is all about. You know, the internet has opened up a whole world of information. You can click one button and you can get more data than you want to know. You can get all kinds of information all around the world. But someone else has risen on the internet, and that's called that chat rooms. And people are getting on chat rooms, and they talk to people all around the world. And it's so exciting for them to do that, but they can't talk to people around the table. But why are chat rooms so popular? It's because you're looking for relationships. People want relationship. But we're so afraid about really connecting with other people, because has anybody lived long enough to know if you get into any kind of relationship, you get hurt? Well, it just goes with the territory. Did Jesus get hurt? Absolutely. It's going to happen. You're going to bump and bruise, and there's going to be things that happen, but we have to be willing to go beyond that. You see, we can get on a chat room and talk with disembodied spirits that can say anything you want. You can build a fantasy, but it's not real. And God wants us to be able to understand relationships. They cost you something, but they're the only thing that's worth anything, and they're the only thing you'll take into eternity with you. The understanding about relationships is so important. You know, when we give you these little connect cards, you may say, well, I don't need to fill one of those out, and I just, you know, that just, please know, it's because we care. You know what breaks my heart at times? If we find out you've gone through a hard time and we don't know about it. And the enemy will be right there to say, nobody cares. I want to tell you, we do care, but we got to connect, or that care won't come to pass. Please help us in that. Let us be loving and caring in every way. And also, too, give measures of forgiveness when we fail to do that. But we're trying to look in every way of how we can connect, how the care can connect to what it is. You know, sometimes we can be a people of prayer, but if we can't connect with that care, you never know it. So we have to make that kind of love very visible. God has connected to us through sending his Son to Jesus Christ. And it's not just about church, but when Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's not talking about a program. And he's not talking about us just coming and sitting in church. We come and sit and sour. You know, that's not going to do anything. I think that's why somebody named these seats pew. I don't know who ended up doing that. But I want to tell you, these seats are all about you and God loving you. And it's a place that we come into the Father's house so that we can learn more about his word and be about the Father's business. Amen? That's the reality of what we need to understand with church and how to connect. And see, the devil fears the day that we get serious about connecting with other people. And it'll take more faith to connect with other people than it ever will for your connection with the Lord. God's got a perfect track record. He'll never hurt you. He'll love you. He'll help you. He'll do what nobody else can. His love knows no limits. Human love is so limited. And we'll bump around and hurt one another, but in the mix of that, God will bless, because he says in the Word that one shall put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. That's talking about enemies. And the devil knows that, and he doesn't want you to connect. He doesn't want you as husband and wife to pray together because of the power of that prayer. You know, they did the statistics on this in a culture, and I've shared this with you before, but in our culture with a 50% divorce rate, we all of a sudden see that move to one divorce in 1,500 if families will do one thing, pray together. Not pray, pray together. There's something that happens in you when you hear your loved one pray for you. Have you ever been mad at one another and you needed to pray? Isn't it hard to stay mad at somebody and pray for them at the same time? I tell you what, it just ruins it. The Holy Spirit shows up and he'll rain on your pity party, and he'll just ruin it as you begin to talk to the Lord about your loved one. And there's something about the fact, it says, you know, you're not to go to bed with anger. Because, see, if you leave it overnight, it becomes like concrete. It gets hard, and you can't work with it. So you're going to have to deal with it. But, see, the Bible really brings us to a point, not just deal with it, we need to deal with it together. There's something happens when we connect, and when we do that, we pray. There's something that happens when all of a sudden you still keep Jesus Christ as the center of every relationship. God can be so real. The Bible talks about two or three together, and how he'll move in the mix of that. That's why we have prayer circles. In the Bible, there's over 57 one another's. The Bible keeps telling us we need one another. We are to be connected as the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the most comprehensive place in all the Bible where Christians talk, where it talks about Christians being connected together. And in this 40 days in the Word, I'm praying that God will take the Word and weld our hearts together like never before. That we can be like Jeremiah of old. That we'll be able to say, God's word is in me, and it's like fire in my bones. It's a fire in my belly. You know, I used to be a welder. And when we'd weld something, it was stronger than any place else because of the layer of metal that you put there. And being welded together by the word of God is something we need to do so we can stand strong. Listen, we can stand alone with Christ, but he will then instruct us to connect and allow the word to connect us to other people. Whenever you obey what the word has to say, it will always lead you to other people. I want to tell you, this is really tough for men. 78% of men never have a close friend because men don't trust. Women are much more open in that way. They're gifted that way. Matter of fact, they're gifted that way to try to get us men where we're supposed to be. But we need to learn about what it is to trust. Will you get hurt? Absolutely. You see, you need to know how to love God and trust him. Have you ever had to repent for not trusting the Lord enough? I have. But it being able to trust in relationships, and I'm not talking about being godly gullible. That's not it. You need wisdom in all you do. And there are certain people Jesus said he wouldn't commit his heart to because he knew what was in them. And you need to have wisdom in that. But you need to be open to relationships. The Bible said a brother's born for adversity. You'll help me out if I'm in trouble. But it says a friend will love you always. Doesn't matter what. You can trust that person. We need those kind of relationships. And listen, we're only strengthened individually as we unite corporately. We don't know that, but the devil does. See, when we connect together, that strength that comes in the body of Christ, where we decide what brings us together is greater than anything that can separate us, God can get involved and do something. That's the body of Christ. That's being an understanding. As he was in the world, so are we today. When we come to communion, it's so important that we understand. It says, this do in remembrance. And the opposite of remembrance is dismember. Not forget, but dismember. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is moving in this day and hour to be able to bring the body of Christ together and bring every member into place where he would purpose it to be, so that we understand what it is to be the body of Christ, that we're not just a person going to church, but we understand being part of the body of Jesus Christ. You see, no place in Scripture do we ever find a lone Christian. It's something of always being connected to the body of Christ. And the best analogy you can ever find of what the church is to be and how we're to function as Christian people is found right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Matter of fact, when you looked in the mirror this morning and you saw your body, that's the best definition of church that you'll ever find. Now, that's kind of scary if it was first thing in the morning when you looked at yourself. You're looking good now, but you probably didn't look that good when you got up this morning. And if we're going to be the body of Christ, there's things we need to do too, so we can make God's love visible. But we see here that we need to have all of our body functioning where God wants it to be. I'm so glad I didn't wake up this morning and some of the parts of my body decided they didn't like where they're at and wanted to move around. I'm glad I didn't wake up and find out my foot and ear had made an agreement and they decided to change places, and I now have a foot for an ear and an ear for a foot. I'm going to have a problem. And that's what the Bible talks about here. You have to understand all the parts and how important they are. But it's also important that they're in the proper place, that they're positioned. See, sometimes we're so caught up with our conditions, we don't realize our position in the body of Christ. Or we're trying to be something we're not, so we never become what God made us to be. And one day we'll stand there empty, unfruitful for the kingdom of God, because we never understood. You were a foot, an ear, a hand, a finger. Or maybe it talks there about some of the unseen parts. Listen, I can live without my ear. I wouldn't like to, but I could live without it. I could live without a finger, but I couldn't live long without my liver. There's something about the understanding of the body that gives us the correlation of an understanding of how the church is to be together, getting all the parts connected together the way God intended. And the devil fears the day that the body of Christ will really be remembered. I'll tell you what it'll take to do that. Revival. Where you just get a hunger for God. And all of a sudden, it isn't the head that puts us together. It's the heart that brings us together. We don't have to figure everything out. I don't have to analyze you. I don't have to see your weaknesses and strength. I don't have to go through all of that. I appreciate you as a part of the body of Christ. And you accept me. No compromise, no condemnation. But we're changed to become more like Jesus Christ because we want to represent him. It comes out of a passionate relationship for Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that will melt our hearts in that way. And that's why I pray during these 40 days of the Word that it'll not just be reading the Word or going through a program with Rick Warren, but something of a process that puts a fire in our heart that we begin to think we need to do something with this and we need to connect our heart. And all the problems you've had with people, I want to tell you, no matter how great the problem, Jesus Christ is the solution. Amen, church? He really is. And if you don't focus on the solution, you'll be so hung up on the problems of people, you'll never connect. You'll never begin to allow that strength to come in your life and see what it's going. And listen, Jesus said, by this shall all men know. All men, saints and ain'ts, will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Well, how are the people of the world going to know that? You have to make it visible. You never talk about one another in a negative way. You love one another. You do things for one another. You live and you do what you think Christ would do. You continue to become until you completely become more like Jesus Christ. That's so important in our hearts and lives. The biggest sin is not what sinners are doing in the world that we look at all the time. The biggest sin is the schism in the body of Christ that keeps us dismembered. People need to see Jesus today. And the only hope for anyone to see Jesus Christ is you and me. As he was in the world, so are we. We say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I want to take that responsibility. Sorry. You got it. What are you going to do with it? It's yours. Every one of you. Every single one of you represent a part of the body of Jesus Christ. How many of you have ever put together a big puzzle, 1,000-piece puzzle? Anybody? Yeah, you put off. How many of you got so disgusted at times that you couldn't find where that one piece went, and you tried to force it in someplace it didn't go, and it didn't work? How many of you have given up and never got it together? How many of you needed to get some help to get it together? How many of you almost got it together and you found out two or three pieces are missing? Yeah. And listen, you can see the picture on the box. But if you can't get all the pieces together, you'll never get the picture with the puzzle. And may I say, each one of us are a piece of the puzzle of what the picture of the church of Jesus Christ is. And if we don't find our place, and if we're not willing to be put in place, or I don't like this place, I want to be in this place, we'll never fit. You'll never find what you're to do. And I pray, Spirit of God, awaken our hearts. Let's be who we've been made to be. And listen, every member has been set in the body as it pleased him. You know, he put me together, okay, I'm glad. As far as I know, all my parts are in the right place. And again, they don't just move around. I'm sure glad for that. But in the body of Christ, let God place you where he wants you to be. And then function because it pleases him. That makes all of the difference. That's what we base it on. Don't be disconnected from other people. And at times you'll have to overlook a lot of faults and failure in people, but they'll have to do the same for you. Amen? Yeah, that's the deal. If we can look beyond the fault of what we see in people, then we can see God's great love. And listen, be connected in a way that we feel what's going on with one another. That is a real deal. How many of you have ever hit your thumb with a hammer? Or something, or bang your finger, or shut the window on it, or the car door, or something, you know. You've done some of those things. Now, did your thumb just go, ouch, and the rest of your body just said, oh, that's your problem? Huh? No, I tell you, I've hit my thumb. And my thumb sent a signal right up to my brain. And it went from my mind to my mouth. And everybody knew, ah! It hurts. And then it sends a signal to my other hand that's holding the hammer. Drop the hammer, dummy. Get over here. I hurt. And then there was a signal went to my legs, and I'm going, ah. Does that work for you? And see, in the body of Christ, we're to weep with those that weep, rejoice with those that rejoice. We feel it together. We share it. We bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what the Bible says. Well, you know, sometimes people just wear me out. It's because we base it on people and we don't base it on pleasing God. If you don't keep the right basis, you'll burn out if you do it for people. You must base it upon the fact that I love Jesus so much and he loved me. And if he loves me, then I can love every other person. You'll get a lot of disappointment. But I promise you, when you please God, you can overcome every disappointment that you have in people. But if you focus on people and you try to, listen, if you do things for people for any other reason than loving Jesus Christ, you're set up for the greatest hurt that can happen. Because people will let you down. You'll be disappointed. You know, I just commended you ladies for what you do. But I want to tell you, I know why they stood over there and their legs were aching, and I hope somebody rubbed their feet when they went home. But you know what? They do that because it's based on loving Jesus Christ. And things keep changing and things keep happening, and you get calls to make salads. You get involved over here with covenant keepers, and there's times it's inconvenient, and there's times you're tired and all that. And listen, if you ever do it based on people, if you ever do it based on, I have to do this, I've just got to do it, somebody's got to do it. I want to tell you, you're set up for disappointment and hurt that will happen ongoingly. You must base it on the love of Jesus Christ. Do you remember when Peter, in all his fumbling and failing and all he did, he got disconnected because of what happened in his life. And there's a lot of people that once loved Jesus, but now they're sitting in churches all across this nation, and they're sitting there hurt and wounded, and they're not going to get involved anymore because they got hurt. I want to tell you what, I'm sorry you got hurt, but let the healer touch you. And if people have hurt you, If you've been disappointed, get reappointed by the Spirit of God and let Jesus touch you, because he placed you in the body and you're so important. And it's not just about what we can do for one another, just within the family. He would like to give birth through the family, that we can reach people and see them born again by the Spirit of God, so they won't be lost for eternity. Have we forgotten that there's a wonderful place called heaven, but there's a horrible place called hell? There's not enough words to describe how beautiful heaven will be, but there's not enough words to describe the terror of hell. And we must be able to understand we stand between the living and dead, and we must make the witness through the body that we represent, the body of Jesus Christ in this world today, every member being in place. You know, I don't know if I like the responsibility in verse 27. It says, you are the body of Christ. If you belong to Christ, you're part of the body. See, that's what the church is. If we understand it's a many-membered body, and God puts us together. Matter of fact, he placed you in this church. We're going to have church membership next Sunday. But I don't have a membership drive. I don't think you should drive people to membership. Well, I want to tell you, it's exciting to be part of a church family where God places you because it pleases him. Amen? I want to encourage you about that. It's not a membership drive to try to get you on the membership roll so somehow now you've got more responsibility. It's an understanding, this is where the Lord would have me to be. And I really want to be a part of the heart of the living God. And when that becomes real in your life, you won't sit and sing. You won't sit and hear sermons. You'll worship. You'll enter in. But I want to tell you, when you leave here, it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference when you go home. It'll make a difference when you go to work. You won't get up on Monday morning and just say, oh gosh, are you going to go to work? No, this is the day the Lord has made. I spent my whole life to get to this point. Thank you, Jesus, that I can get up and go today. There's a lot of people that can't. And you're needed out there in that place. Listen, God placed you where he has you right now on your job to be a light in this dark world. And we represent him in everything we do. We represent him in our witness, not only to the world, but to one another. I like to be around Christians that live like Christians. Not that we're perfect. We're not always right. But we're always real. I love to be around people like that. And I want to encourage you about that. Matter of fact, the following Sunday, we have on the 16th, we have water baptism. If you've not been baptized since you believe, why not? Jesus is the example. We're not doing water baptism to somehow get you into the church, or it's a doctrine of the church or anything. Jesus was baptized. He's our example. He was immersed because it says they came straightway up out of the water. As far as I know, the only way you can do that is be under it. And God, by the Spirit, wants us to know that's a real deal. And it's not just getting baptized, it's living baptized. When we understand that, we begin to become the body of Christ. Say, well, Pastor, how does this work? Does this really get out where people live? It has to. It has to. Because of what's going on in people's world. What's going on in your world? What's going on in the world around you? Listen, if you don't recognize who you are, you won't see what you can do. And until you begin to get serious about being in the body of Christ, and by the way, when I say that, I commend you as a church family for the way you live out life and love. I'm not up here saying you don't do it. I'm up here saying you're doing good. You're doing good. But I believe we can do even better. Amen? Because he's worthy. Let me share this, because this is to you. And it just says, folks, is that who we are? You helped us put our lives together over 28 years ago. And we stood on that foundation every day since. Last week, one of our sons and two of his children were in his car when a bomb went off. Since all of you have been part of our lives from the first day we met, we want to share this with you. How do you survive being in a car that was bombed? And Al says, by having the hand of God on the situation as it unfolds. We can't share the details as the family is still under guard with all the agencies that you can imagine, and they're still working on bringing the individuals responsible to justice. Eric, our son, is the least injured, and as many of you have heard on the recording of his 911 call, outwardly in control. Each one of the boys have different injuries, and the healing has already started. On a personal note, when all this started, it took a while for our emotions to come to surface. Yesterday, I anticipated difficulties of being able to be what the family needed for me in the midst of all of this. What Sally and I experienced was a long, comfortable drive in peace as we went to the place where this was taking place. The peace was there, and at first we saw the wounded being carried as they come out, but it looked like they come out of a tough football game where they had participated but were injured, but they were strong in their spirit. What's next for the boys? More surgeries, a healing process, and for Sally and I, and possibly you, an affirmation that our God is in control. From the beginning of our life together, we start every day with the Lord's Prayer. Simple but powerful words that when you step out each day following what you pray in that prayer, the day unfolds as it's supposed to. And that's what we needed on that day. Thank you for your prayer and your support. And praise be to God for all things. Signed, Al. You know, Al and Sally, I remember when they come together, their lives were broken and they received Jesus Christ. That was over 28 years ago. I remember sitting there with Al at the Country Inn kitchen. Country Kitchen. It's not Country Inn. I threw an extra one in there. The Country Kitchen. I remember sitting there with Al and saying, Al, what do you want me to say at your son's funeral? And he got out a napkin and he wrote, I wish I'd have learned hugs are better than drugs before my son was addicted to drugs because he lost hope and his son took his life. I want you to know there's a real battle going on. This is a real deal. I'm not up here just preaching a sermon. These are things that you face out there all the time, and it's what's going on. And the enemy would just like to sugarcoat sermons where it doesn't make any difference. Listen, I'm glad if you say, well, Pastor, that was a good sermon. But listen, it's not a good sermon unless it does something in your heart and makes a difference in your life. If this word doesn't become flesh, then it's not the word of God the way he intended. And there's battles that are out there that are so real for people. And if you don't open your heart to realize who you are, you'll never even see these things. So many things that God wants to show you will never happen unless you know who you are. Because God can't reveal these things. It's not that it comes through reason. It comes through revelation. And all of a sudden you'll pause and you'll look at a person and you'll feel that tug to be able to talk to them and say something and encourage them. You'll find ways that you've never seen before because you're too busy. All of a sudden you'll see what it is to slow down a little bit and be the body of Christ. All of a sudden you'll realize what Jesus meant when he said, I must be about the Father's business and you're in business too. Understand God's grace that's there and all the things that people are facing. And if you can sit there and listen to the news all the time and you can get so burdened and so depressed with that, you won't know that in the midst of all the sad and bad news in this world, you have the solution and it's found in the person of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that there won't be problems and pressures. They'll be there and they'll be there even more so as you get in the battle. But you'll find the strength that God wants to give you. And we won't be dismembered. We'll be a body of Christ that move together in an understanding of who we are. That we can accomplish his purpose the way he intends. God wants us to be able to understand that purpose so clear of everything he wants to do. There's a variety of gifts, but the same Lord. The variety of ministries, but the same Lord. Variety of operations, but the same Lord. I'll tell you, we're many membered, but we're one body. And when we begin to move and function like that, there's something God can do that's so wonderful that allows everybody to see his grace. Because the only thing that will compel you to live this way and love other people and go through all you have to is the love of Jesus Christ. Do you remember when Jesus shows up after all of Peter's failing? And Peter, he disconnected. He said, I'm going fishing. After the crucifixion, and he didn't know much about the resurrection, he just said, I'm going to disconnect. I don't know how this works. I'm going back to what I know. And when he stood up and said, I'm going fishing, the other guy said, we're going with you. They didn't know what to do either. They all disconnected. But Jesus is on the shore, and they've been out fishing, and he's going to meet them at breakfast, and he has something to say to them. And he has something to say to the church today. You know, when he calls out to them, they realize it's the Lord. And you remember, Peter jumped in the water. I don't know what he was thinking of all he did. He swam to shore. But you remember, Peter, when he disconnected, he really disconnected. He used profanity. He turned the air blue because he couldn't take the pressure of identifying with the Lord at the time of the crucifixion. And, you know, when you find Peter, you'll find him warming his hands at the campfire of the enemies. And if you look that up, you'll find out that was a charcoal fire. And it's the only two times in Scripture you'll find a charcoal fire is that time when he denied him and this time when Jesus is going to meet him at breakfast and he's cooking fish for him. And there's something about that kind of identity when they come on land and he feeds them. And then all of a sudden, he approaches Peter. Now, have you ever had a time where somebody just failed you miserably? And how did you approach them? Have you had times where you failed somebody miserably? How did they approach you? Have you ever had somebody come up and say, "Why did you do what you did?" and just be upset with you? Don't raise your hand. That person might be sitting next to you. Jesus walking up to Peter, and listen, I think Peter was ready to leave footprints in the sand and take a hike. But Jesus walked up to him, and he said, "Peter, do you love me?" Now, I want you to remember something. Peter's the guy that has the revelation from heaven when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" He said, "Well, some say you're prophets and that," but he said, "Who do you say I am?" He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Upon this confession, I'll build my church." Of course, you go three more verses and Peter's all messed up again. But he got that right. That's the only time he gets anything right in the Gospels. But that gives me hope. But then an understanding, he knew the Lord. So when he comes to Peter and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" It's not about knowing Jesus. And I want to say something to us as a church, and I say this to me as well as to you. Jesus is coming to his church for this end time, and he has one question. Do you love me? Are you willing to connect and be what I've called you to be? Are you willing to please me? Do you love me? He's not asking the question this time, do you know me? He's asking this question, do you love me? See, there's a different level of what takes place. You can know a lot of people, but do you really love? And talking about the kind of, and when Peter says, "Oh, I love you," that was superficial. There was no depth to that. That's what got him in trouble the first time. He's always saying, "I love you, Lord. I'll die for you." He had all this. Listen, he meant well, but he didn't have the kind of love that will carry you through. He didn't know agape love. He simply knew what the superficial relational love is that we can know on a human level, and it won't stand the test. And again, he says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, I love you." And by the way, each time when he responded and said, "Lord, I love you," what did Jesus do? He said, "Feed my..." Yeah. He gave him an assignment. If you love, then you're going to serve. You're going to do something with it. And Peter's at this point, your love has amounted to good talk, but you can't walk it. And listen, to church today, Jesus is going to say something to you about love, but it's not just going to be for a good feeling. It's going to be the basis of everything that we do to serve the Lord and make a difference, to make his love visible. And when he says the second time to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Lord, I love you." He said, "Then feed my sheep. I've got an assignment for you, Peter. You've got to do something with it. You can't just say yeah and go away. And listen, there's so many people today. There'll be tons of seed of the gospel poured out in hearts and lives today. But it can be forgotten in a few moments or by the next day. Or you can get blessed one moment and go out and pull out behind a Sunday driver and get all upset and forget everything you just heard in church. All those good feelings go away. And God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is coming to the church today. And I believe he's coming for the third call, where we really connect to the kind of love that he talks about. When he said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter wept. It says he was grieved. All of a sudden, he got it. He understood something he didn't before. Something dropped from his head to his heart. And he got it. And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know I love you." said, then you feed my sheep. And he had another thing to say. You follow me. You follow me. And you know what? Peter, even with this depth of love, looks over at John and says, well, what about him? He said, that's none of your business. You follow me. Can I tell you, from that time on, Peter's connected. I mean, this is a guy that's so connected. When he stood up on the day of Pentecost, the 11 stand with him. They didn't want to do that before. They got in trouble with that. He stands up and preaches a three-minute sermon. 3,000 souls are saved. The connectedness that happened in the early church, where they did the kind of care they had for one another. I mean, it's connected in such a beautiful way. You know, I was reading about the fact that Dr. Billy Graham held hundreds of crusades all across the nation. And somebody criticized him for the crusades he was holding. I wanted to get the number here because it was 36,000 crusades that he held in his lifetime, all around the world. And someone criticized him and said, well, you've set the church back 100 years doing it the way you do it. I mean, you don't do it. You're not religious. You don't keep it in church. You go out in stadiums and you do all this. You've set the church back 100 years. Billy Graham said, forgive me. I meant to set it back 2,000 years. I meant to set it back to the way it was when it was first birthed and it turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. Dear church, can we connect? Can we come to this communion table with a commitment to connect as the body of Jesus Christ? And can we get over our own preferences, the things that divide us? Listen, if you don't set aside everything that can hurt you as far as what happens with people, then God can't help you and he can't use you. You will get hurt. That just happens. If you don't have everything based on the fact that everything we do is unto the Lord. Whether you eat or drink, we do it all as unto the glory of the Lord. No matter what you do, if you don't keep it based on Jesus, you're going to be in trouble. If you serve people for any less reason than loving Jesus, you're set up to be wounded in a horrible way. And soon, you'll be sitting there with your wounds, and you won't be able to walk the walk that God has for you. You won't be part of the picture of what God wants you to be in the church. And he can't place you in the bodies that pleases him because you're so wounded by what people have done. But I'm thankful Jesus is calling us the third time and saying, do you love me? And we're going to get over it. And we're going to go on and do everything God wants to. Amen? That's what this communion service is about this morning. We're going to get remembered as the body of Christ. And please know, I want to say this again to be sure I got it. Dear church family, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for your hearts. I'm thankful for good people that love God. And you've done a good work. I just believe God's ready to do something even better. And we may have to get over anything that's bitter or hurt or wounded, but we can do it. And we'll help one another. And if I can't get it done myself, if I can't help myself, you can help me, okay? And if you need some help, I'm your brother. I'll help you. And please know this, if anybody trusts you and connects with you and trusts you, don't you ever violate that trust. It's the most sacred thing that can happen. And it can wound people quicker than anything else if you ever violate anything of trust. God wants to just bring us together so we can bring the world to an understanding of his love. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking the grace and embrace of the Spirit of the living God as we come to this communion table today so we can connect and you can direct. Lord, you can never direct anything you can't connect. And so, Lord God, I thank you for all that you've done, all the great things you've done in this church, all the great lives that have come and are a part of this church. But God, connect us today with that third call of love that really does touch our heart to the deepest level. So we can love you and love one another so the world may know that you're real in our life. I pray and ask and believe for that in Jesus' name. Now I ask you this morning simply, as we come to this point of approaching communion, if you're here today and you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is your opportunity to open your heart and say, Lord, I'm coming. I need to get connected. And today I'm just surrendering my heart. Would you slip your hand up right where you're seated? I'm not asking you to join the church or get religion, but get connected to what Christ wants in your heart. And if you feel disconnected right now, let the Holy Spirit touch you. Everyone's just praying. This is your moment before the Lord. Just slip your hand up and he'll connect with you. We'll take just a moment for that. If the Spirit of God is speaking to you, say, come on, just connect. Amen. God sees your hand, brother. Are there others this morning? You just say, Lord, I just need to get connected. I feel this. Yes, amen. God bless you, my sister. Are there other hearts this morning? Yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God, that it's this what this table represents that connects us to you and to one another. We bless you for that and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask those that be helping to serve communion if you'd come at this time. We serve open communion for every person that knows and loves the Lord and pray that you'll just partake with an understanding of how much God really loves you. Pastor John, would you ask the blessing over the bread?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you have made provision for the healing of our bodies.
Yes, Lord.
Your body was wounded and broken for us, and by your stripes we are healed.
Thank you, Lord.
We declare it as your word is.
Grant that, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Would you hold your portion that we may partake together? And would you remember that we partake of the bread, that by his stripes we were healed? And if you need healing, as Pastor John prayed this morning, just allow the Lord to touch you and reveal and heal whatever needs to be. And you know, sometimes I just have to soak in Scripture. And it doesn't mean that I always get an instant healing. I have experienced that. But sometimes I just have to bathe in the Word. And also, I think there's some wounds in hearts that have happened circumstantially. You've really tried hard to get over them. And I just feel the Lord would like to say to some hearts here this morning, if God doesn't change your circumstance, he will use it. If he doesn't change it, he will use it. And if you allow him to use it, even if it doesn't change, it will change you. And there'll be a grace and embrace that comes from the Lord because you honor him in the mix of that. And you're allowing him to rise up and be greater than the condition because of the position that you have as a son or daughter of the Most High God. But please, if you can just remember this, if you can't change the circumstance, God will use it. That's the main thing I'd like to say to your heart, because there's some that need to know that. Thank you, Lord. May we eat together? As we partake of the cup, I can't help but think of the final communion service we're going to have. It's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. We're all going to gather around the Father's table. We'll be there, every one of us. But you know, I think in a special way, especially with Pete going home to be with the Lord. And I look out and you know, I think of Dean and Chet. And I think of, boy, there's so many. I just think about all our loved ones in this church family that are there with the Lord. And we're going to be able to sit down around the table and be with all of them. I think about Bill. I think about Marv. Boy, I tell you, it's going to be such a glorious day when we see all of our loved ones again. But it's all because of the love of Jesus. And can I say, if we can take what the word of the Lord would have to say today about who we are, There's going to be a lot of people right now that don't know the Lord that will be around that table because of your testimony. The testimony of this table has to come. Listen, people have a terminal disease, and it's called sin, and there's only one antidote, and you're receiving it right now in your hand. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. But the book of Revelation says this, the devil, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Do you understand? The blood of the Lamb is not hard to understand and what he's done, but the other part is ours. And God's given us that charge. And I feel sharp about what I say today. I don't know if I communicated it in every way that I'd like to, but I feel sharp about the Spirit of God saying, listen, we're going to another level, and we're going to know the power of love in a way that's going to take us from something that's been good to something better. And here's the deal. I believe with all my heart it's going to start happening at home. I believe it's going to become sharper and clearer that you pray for one another and pray with one another. I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to start talking into your heart, and you're going to take a second look at people and see beyond their problems and see that you can make a difference by encouraging them, by saying something to them, or just, could I just say a word of prayer with you? And don't make it a big deal. And don't preach at them. Pray for them. Be real. Father, we take this cup, knowing, Lord, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. But Lord, you're saying to us, it must be our testimony that allows this blood to flow. And it's our testimony that becomes the conduit for the blood of Christ to connect and bring people to life. God, lest we forget, we lift this cup and we say, Lord, we're going to drink all of it. And we thank you for your love and that you never forget us. And I pray where we've become dismembered in any way, that today we will be remembered, connected because we care as the body of Christ. I ask that in Jesus' name. May we drink together. May we stand together. God bless you. And I know Pastor John said about praise and worship tonight, but I really encourage you to come out and share.